Welcome to Coaching with Catherine, the podcast on defining success on your own terms. My name is Catherine Lavenhagen. Every Friday, you will get a new podcast on how to make life mean more and build a life you're proud to live. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Coaching with Catherine. Today, I'm super excited to introduce you to James Davis. I met James during my on-site coach training through the Coaches Training Institute. I was blown away by his genuineness and authenticity. James and I reconnected when I moved to Denver about a year later, and I knew immediately I wanted to interview him for this podcast. Let's dive in and talk to James about how he brings presence to each moment and how he's created a life in alignment with his most authentic self. Hi, James. Welcome to the show. Okay. So the first question I've been asking people, or the same question I've been asking everyone, is how do you define success, or what does success mean to you?
What does success mean to me is, to me personally, I think success is living life with an open heart and courage. And what's right for me and live is stepping into that way versus listening to what society says is the way to be, or past experiences or family. So that's what it means to me.
I love that because it's so in line with the purpose of this interview and why I chose you to interview you, because I see you really living that way in all areas of your life.
Oh, thank you. That's good to see. Because one of the things that's really important to me is integrity. And I think is showing up and living a life that's aligned with what's important to me. And so not always that way, but mostly I try to, you know, show up in the world and what I believe in. So how I show up, you can probably guess on what's important to me, because usually that's how I show up, according to my values.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're being really intentional about it, is what I'm hearing.
I think one of the things, yes, is every year I kind of sit down at the beginning of the year and think about what I want more of and what I want less of. And I sometimes even think about how do I live my life and what am I grounded in? Like I've actually written out like what values are important to me. To kind of reflect on those and making sure that, because I know I feel the most fulfilled and the most alive in life is when I'm connected with those and living those. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it sounds like every year you kind of do a check-in with yourself of like, you know, which values do I want to live more fully into? And in order to be more satisfied, and like, which ones am I feeling good about? Like, am I feeling a lot of satisfaction?
Absolutely. I think you're right. Because I think when I feel misaligned with those, it's when I feel like depleted, unmotivated, all those types of things. But when I'm living more, you know, aligned with those, it's that's when I'm like, okay, life feels good.
You feel good. Yeah. So it's like kind of like your compass.
Yes, for sure.
I'm guessing you haven't always been that way.
No.
So tell me a little more.
You know, it's interesting. I haven't always been that way. No, but what I think is coming up for me right now as we're talking about this, what I've done, I think I look now as I look at what's important to me, I've put values on myself based on what I think I should do. It's still to this day, it's kind of like on learning, like, oh, I believe in this. Why? Oh, because this is what I was told to do. But do I really still believe in this? So I think I'm in a place now where I'm like, even still questioning, are we defining some of the values, what it means?
So it sounds like you basically at first kind of took on the values that were important to the people around you. And then at some point you were like, wait a minute, like, is this really a value that is meaningful to me? Or am I just like, you know, picking this because I should have this value? It sounds like a good idea.
Absolutely.
And you're just kind of like you're still in that process of like really getting to the core of what it really matters to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think reprioritizing too. Like one of the things that sticks out to me is, we've talked about this before, but integrity is important to me. And I defining that as like doing what I say I'm going to do and living my life according to my values. Well, I think sometimes that can get in the way, right? I think I've been so committed and loyal to those at certain times in my life where I would not give up because I was so committed because just saying what I was going to do versus sometimes just saying, you know what, it's not meant to be or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like two values could kind of be conflicting.
Yes.
And depending on what like stage you are in your life or what the experience is, like you may have to honor another value more, not because you don't honor integrity, but just because of the circumstances.
I think well said. I think it's true. Yeah. It's like sometimes it's like looking at a situation and then looking at how to prioritize your values is that one supersede another, like one value supersede another value.
Yeah. I love that because like at any point in time, like I'm thinking, you know, a person could have a value of like fun and adventure, and they could also have a value of responsibility and or loyalty. And like those could conflict at certain times, and they have to make a decision of like which one in that situation they're going to honor more. So it's not like a black and white, I guess is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think. Yes. And I think one of the things is that gray, living in the gray has not always been easy. And so I think, and it's interesting that you said, responsibility and loyalty versus fun and adventure. Like that's me.
Really?
Like those are totally, like responsibility is one of my values really too. And being committed, but also having fun and adventure. And so like, it's interesting because I used to think life, didn't have to be fun and adventurous, but you had to take responsibility, right? And I'll take responsibility. I'll get what's done. And now I realize, wow, you can have both.
Both.
Yes. And versus one or the other. And so that's been enlightening to me because I mean, responsibility doesn't light me up in life. So much. I mean, it does when I fulfill it. Right. And
follow through.
When I follow through and get stuff done and I'm a loving father and a loving husband and all that stuff. Like that's important to me. But also like, wow, seeing life like as an adventure and having fun, like that's what really makes me come alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Even you, when you're talking about it, it's like your energy, like when you say fun and adventure, like your eyes like light up and like that's living it. In the gray, like living in the gray, it seems like that's actually really alive, like makes you feel alive.
Oh yeah, it totally does. I think having a goal, but not knowing exactly what it looks like and achieving it is really what I enjoy in life.
I love where you're going with this, like having a goal and not really knowing how you're going to get there. It sounds like being kind of like being flexible, being open to maybe the path that's going to take you there.
Correct. Yeah. I think just trusting, and having faith in the universe that, you know, if I put my best foot forward and I stay aligned with what's important to me and that the right things show up when they're supposed to. Another thing that's interesting that is coming up for me right now is around when I say faith and is like faith and the right things are going to show up. I look at the times in my life where I tried to make things happen. Out of being responsible and rigid, it was so much more work and it sometimes nothing happened. And then when I've actually had a good set an intention and a goal and just allowed and took steps moving towards it, but not out of, out of responsibility and rigidness, I just took it, you know, allowed things to happen and more things showed up. So I think the times of life where I set the intention and moved towards that and then allowed versus trying to make things happen.
Yeah. It almost sounds like you're saying one place is like kind of a fear driven, like, you know, if this doesn't happen, then I'm not valuable or I'm not as good of a person versus like trusting versus a place of trust, like trusting, like I'm okay and I want this, and yeah, not being so attached.
Yes. Love it. I think I wrote that down, fear versus trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm shifting, because I don't think it's always one way, but mostly I try to shift into a place of trusting versus fear.
Yeah.
And it takes work for me, but I think that's mm-hmm. a great distinction
mm-hmm.
making, for sure.
Is there, when you say it takes work and you're kind of shifting, is there something that you notice, like when you're not in that place of trust, that helps you to like shift into the place? Or how are you bringing your awareness to this shift?
Well, you know, I think I notice the thoughts I'm having. Are they like self-sabotaging thoughts? Like, oh, play it safe. Don't do that. You're not going to make it. You know, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, wait, hold on. And then I think if I get out of my head and go into my heart,
mm-hmm.
Into my body, and I just say, allow, like, does it feel right to me to move this way? And does it feel opening, or does it feel like restricting? And I think what I've noticed is when I allow, when I can kind of tap back into my heart and say, this is allows for opening versus that, the fear, it's almost like I'm allowing the trust to come in. Like I feel
yeah.
like, so yeah.
It's like a remember. It almost sounds like it's a remembering.
Yes. Yes. Good. Yeah. Cause I think of the times in my life that I've been, had my eye on a goal and I've accomplished it. It's normally when I'm allowing
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, cause I know I'm like, oh, I remember the time that I ran my first marathon. Like that's comes up to me years ago. And I was like, I could never do this. I can never do this. But then I realized believing that I could, and then allowing it's, and got me out of that fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like what you were pointing at, it just takes so much less energy.
Yes. Yes.
It frees up energy for other things.
It does. And it doesn't seem like work. It just seems like what you're interesting. Cause I've been toying with this discipline.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming up for me right now.
Around. Like it's a discipline.
Yeah. And I think self-discipline in our society is so valued,
mm-hmm.
but does it have to be hard?
Yeah.
Or can it be fun and easy?
Mm-hmm.
So I think how I was taught is like discipline. It needs to be different. It can't be fun.
Yeah. Like to achieve anything that's worthwhile, it has to be hard and you have to give all your blood, sweat, and tears to it.
No pain, no gain, right?
I mean, that's
it used to be t-shirts in high school said no pain, no gain. Right. And I think that's how I was something I'm unlearning.
Yep. Well, and it's like I'm hearing, it's like a paradox. It's like, there is effort. There is action involved in the place of like what sounds like flow, kind of like being in that place of flow where you're just using your values, your intuition, your sense, and being open to like what comes into your path. But also there is a part that you're having in that, in terms of like taking action more from an inspired place, more from a place of authenticity, like this really aligns with who I am, versus like I need to do this because it's on my list of things to do, like checking things off a list.
Yes, I think. So it's like having an attention and being focused, but also allowing for the universe to help too. Not to think that I'm
going
to make it happen, and just being open. So mm-hmm. I think it's an equal push and pull, right? I'm moving into action, but I'm also allowing the natural forces to come into play too.
Mm-hmm. What helps you to be in that space?
What allows me to be in that space is being balanced and centered.
Mm.
So I think the more that I can take time, I think in the, like a lot of times in the mornings, I'll take, you know, 20 to 30 minutes just kind of either write or to meditate or just to set my intentions for the day and kind of connect to my bigger purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I feel most grounded and connected, because I'm making decisions that come to me that day based on those things that are important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like you're connecting with like the bigger picture.
Yes.
At the beginning of the day. And then that's kind of helping you to make decisions instead of getting lost in like being in a reactive place because something comes into your life that seems like it needs your attention immediately. But if you were to have like kind of that bigger picture, you'd realize this really isn't that important.
Absolutely. That's well said. Absolutely. It helps me see the meta view going on.
Yeah. And I guess I'm coming back to like how you started the conversation by saying that what success meant to you was, I love the words that you used. It was something like an open, like courageous, open heart or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How does that relate to this, what we're talking about?
Well, I think that's my internal compass, right? I think the open heart is internal compass. And the open part of the heart is allowing things to flow through me versus closed, where it would just like stop the energy. So I feel like this is interesting. I'm just having, as I talk about this, but I think it's like allowing the universe, right? Like we're all connected in some way. I really believe that we're on this earth together and in this even bigger than the earth. But we're all connected. And I think if we're all tapped into this energy, whatever it is, source, God, that we can live out our purpose and make a difference in the world. And so, and the courage part to me is really being able to trust that openness, the stuff that sounds exciting and also the stuff you're scared of and all that stuff, and move through it and walk with it, in order to really stay aligned with what's important to me and to the bigger picture.
Yeah. I love like the metaphor that's coming to me is like a house, like with an open door, versus a closed door. And like, kind of like if the doors are open, that this connection can flow. And if there's a door closed, it like blocks that, like that flow that's happening. And fear, it sounds like fear is a thing that closes the door.
Well said. I love the metaphor, because I think I'm actually sitting right now, like at the front of the house, and the door is over here. My own door is over here. And it's like, I can just imagine, like, because it's almost like if you don't have the door open, the air in the house gets stagnant.
Stagnant.
And it's like, but if you have it open, it's like it gives you air and it's refreshing and revitalizing. So,
yeah. And it's also like a way to connect with other people.
Yes.
Because that allows, like, if they have their door open and you have your door open, that energy can connect.
Oh, well said. I think, yes. And I think in our society, I'm making this assumption, but I think we have more closed doors than open doors.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts, you know, depending on your community and all that stuff. But I think, and one of the things that I feel that I have done by living my life with my door open, mostly when I can, is that it allows other people to open their doors.
Their doors.
Right. Or at least crack it, right? It doesn't have to be wide open, but it's like, hello.
It like inspires other people to open a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me more about that, because what I know about you from our interactions, is that relationships are really important to you.
Yes.
And I'm curious, like how has it supported you in your relationships to like open the door?
You know, I think what has a deeper relationships. Mm. I would say I have a more deep friendships than a ton of friendships. I'm really connected, but like I know I come alive when I can connect with someone on a heart level, on a human level, than when it's just superficial. I have a hard time with that. Like networking events where it's, I mean, most people would probably think that I'm good at that type of thing. But I don't like it because it's at a superficial level versus that heart connection.
Yeah. It sounds like it's not energizing.
No, energizing. It's like depleting.
Yeah. It's draining.
Cause I feel like people sometimes, and we're taught in our society at, in certain types of events, you need to it's, you need to be more mechanical. You need to be this way. You need to be that way. We're not connecting on a human level. We're connecting at a head level, which is not bad. I think there needs to be both. But for me, I think I come most alive when I can connect at the heart level. And one thing I know about myself is, and other people in my life have told me this, they're like, James, you, like, I'll go to the airport and people will tell me things I won't tell anybody else. I'm like, did she really just tell me that? Or did that? Wow. I must, I'm putting that out. I guess my door was
your open. Your energy. Yeah. Your door was open. Yeah. You were inviting that and like
inviting it.
And people can sense that without even you saying it.
Yeah. But the human connection is so important to me. And I think that's like really like connecting with people. So they're heard and felt like they're valued. That's what's important to me. I want people when they leave any experience with me to say, wow, he heard me, he cares, and I feel valued. Like that's
Yeah, I totally get that sense when I'm with you, even, you know, in our conversation before starting this. Good. It's like you really are, you bring that to the forefront in your intention, and it's like a felt sense that I have when I'm in your presence. And it sounds like other people have, if they're sharing their, you know, things they wouldn't tell other people with you.
Well, I'm glad that you see that, 'cause that's important to me. Yes, very much so.
So how, I'm curious, like, I know you're starting a new kind of direction in your career or expanding. Mm-hmm. How are you bringing this into that part of your life?
Good question. And that's the scary part. That's where the fear creeps in sometimes is, like, I want to bring the humanness into the workplace. Like, it's really important for me to be, because I feel like we spend so much time in like more time and work than we do with our family a lot of times. And so it's really important for me for people to bring themselves to the workplace. It's kind of unleashing the humanness in the workplace. It's, and I get, we have to have a set of professional boundaries and those types of things, but how can we really bring ourselves, so when people come to work, that they can bring their full self, and then they're going to show up more engaged, more excited, more alive to actually do the work, produce more results. So the scary part is around that for me is that I think people, organizations will say that they bring the humanness, but I don't really think they want it. So, you know, my fear creeps in because that brings them doing this work, aligns with what's important to me, but I'm sometimes wonder if it's too early for the workforce to really embrace this.
Yeah. You're not sure how it's going to be received.
Yes. Well, this was going, it feels right with my open heart and trusting that the right things will come. And that's, I feel like right now is standing, putting my stake in the ground and just saying, this is what I believe in, and this is who I am, and this is what I have to offer. And if I, by staying true to that, the right things will show up.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you recognize you could go into a fear based place around this, because there's a lot at stake. I mean, it's your career, your livelihood, and yet you're being intentional about keeping your heart open and trusting and allowing.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's, if I want to do this work, I have to demonstrate that I'm able to step into that same space. Right? So it's a test for me to actually live out what I want for others in the workplace, right? So, instead of staying in that area of fear and safety and where you can retreat and do something that's safe but unfulfilling, that I'm like living it and being a little bit scared, but also enjoying it and stepping into like being comfortable and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like I'm learning now, like what anxiety feels like to me. And like, I enjoy living there. You know what I mean? It's not a bad thing. You know that, like the angst that you have. Like,
yeah.
This is the edge of life, right? This is when I really come up.
I love that. So it's like you're looking at it instead of like a negative thing. You're looking at it like it's a positive thing because it's like taking you closer towards what you want.
Yes. Instead of saying, how do I get rid of this and move away?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, how can I lean into this a little bit more and feel it? Because that's what I know life is like versus, because that's what, that's adventure and fun for me. And that's one of the things that's important that I live.
Yeah, it's like you're getting that kind of sense of adrenaline, like the thrill seeking, like living on the
edge. Like diving. Yeah. Like skydiving every day. Now, not that much of anxiety, but you know, knowing that that's where life for me starts. And when I feel fulfilled is when I'm on that edge.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Actually today, I was working with my coach and we were talking and he goes, actually, I have to show you this picture is on my screen right now. And it was a guy that had just jumped over the cliff with his arms out. And I was like, whoa, like our heart open, arms out, and was jumping, not knowing, you don't know if he's going to have a belly flop, if he's going to dive, what's going to happen, but trusting that by doing that, the right things will show up versus like looking over the cliff and moving back away from it. He just started diving. And I feel that's where I am right now.
Yeah, your arms are out and your heart's open and you're diving off into the unknown.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. Yeah. If it's going to be a backflip, a double backflip or a belly flop.
But you know, what's interesting is it's, I can go to that place where it's the unknown, but it's also the knowing that the right things are going to show up. Right.
I love that.
It's also the knowing that I don't know what that is.
I talk more about that because there's this real sense when you're talking that it's like a tangible, like a felt sense that you have of this knowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I don't know if that's what it's the trust, but it's the knowing that the right things will appear and whatever shows up, I'm ready for.
Mm.
But moving towards that, you know, keeping that heart open as I can and believing, walking in what's important to me and walking grounded in what's, you know, the core values, the right things will show up.
Yeah, it's like a belief.
It is a belief, but it's a feeling. It's an experience too. Like I have to, because I know when I'm in fear, it's not that. But when I'm in, I think, as of this time in my life, I think I'm living more with an open heart versus restricted fear.
Because
like I said, I'm getting used to that uncomfortableness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're becoming more comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Correct. Yeah. And I think I'm redefining failure too. I think we have a society that's like, I don't want to fail if I do. But, you know, making myself wrong or bad by being in failure. But now it's like, okay, if I do fail, it doesn't have to be right or wrong. It can be what it is and move forward. What did I learn? And so I think, I mean, that's here a lot of times here, but I got to get used to feeling it here as well.
Yeah. And it sounds like what I'm hearing is like, you're on this, what seems like a maybe newish path.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're getting, it's scary and there's anxiety and there's fear, but you're getting like positive reinforcement. It sounds like as you jump off that cliff with your arms open and your heart, you know, your heart open, you're getting met by the universe and things are coming into your life. And that's reinforcing this. I'm really feeling this willingness within you to like jump off.
Yes. I think you're absolutely right. I think in this time of my life right now, it feels like I'm getting these, like you said, almost these small signals that are catching me as I'm falling, right? Mm-hmm. like it's determined if I'm going to have a somersault or a backflip. But I think I'm, like I think even this interview with you and some of the other work that's showing up is like, wow, this is aligned with exactly with what I want to be doing.
Mm.
Showing up versus me trying to, I'm taking action, but also things are appearing as I'm moving. So, I think that has a lot to do with just trusting first and being really grounded and knowing what I want.
Yeah. And who you are. Like I get the sense that you really know you really know who you are and what's important to you.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's almost like a tuning fork, you know, you kind of attract the things that the same vibration. And I feel like, since, like you said, I know who I am, and it's once you get solid in that, I feel like your vibrations attract other things that are at the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm curious, like how did you get started on this journey?
I think that one of the biggest, the biggest thing was coming out being gay, I think, was one of the biggest jumps I took. But listening to my inner heart and what was true for me, and like saying, you know what, it's more fearful, it's more hurtful now to stay closeted and living my life than it is to like break out of the shell and really become who I am. And so I think that lesson learned was really, you know, kind of groundbreaking for me and gave me the confidence to step into the same way of being in other parts of my life with my and all those types of things.
Yeah. It sounds like it was like really liberating.
Oh, it was so liberating. It was like, but it was scary. It was the scariest thing I ever did, because speaking about values, like what your family puts on you and society puts on you growing up in the Midwest, having that internalized homophobia and all this stuff. But I was like, I gotta be true to myself. And so I put my stake in the ground at that point and said, I will always live with an open heart.
Wow.
So I think that now gives me, like, talking about, I can connect with another experience that kind of drive this. Like, that's an experience that I trusted, and I had courage, and I stepped in that direction, and, the right things appeared when they were supposed to.
Yeah. It sounds like that really changed the direction of your life when you did that and had that experience, then it opened up a lot more for you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I tell myself now, like where I am today, it was much more than I thought that I would ever be. And that could be right. I think it gave me, the courage to just always live the life that's true for me. So
I love like how you're bringing courage and fear together. Like, I really believe that it's not that, we get to move forward and go after our dreams without any fear. I mean, typically I think for most people, there's a lot of fear, because if you're going outside of your comfort zone into the unknown, like, I think just how we're wired, there's going to be fear. And you keep, you know, using the word courage, like it takes courage to like face the fear, face the anxiety, face the discomfort, and to move forward. And I guess I'm wondering, like, what do you say if we had to add, like, for the sake of, like, you know, engaging courage, facing fear for the sake of, what is the, for the sake of for you?
Facing fear for the sake of, I think, living what's important to you. I think that, I mean, cause I feel like I don't want to wake. I just have this fear. I mean, the fear, like the worst case scenario would be like James not showing up, living what's important to him, and he dies. Right. Where I could tell you today, if there'd be some regrets, but like not very many, like if I would die today, I would feel accomplished. Because I feel like I'm living my life.
Yeah. So like not having regrets, like really feeling like you have played all out.
Yes. Yeah. I love like playing. I've played out full out on the football field, like totally to exhaustion, but like gave it my all. And that's, and that's how I feel today. But it takes intention, right? And it takes that courage. And, but I think what keeps me motivated is showing up aligned with what's important to me.
Yeah. Cause there's this real sense that if you didn't do that, like, and maybe it comes from like not living that way for a while. I don't know how long it was before you came out, but like, I really get the sense that like, no matter what, you don't want to live that way. Like, you don't want to be dishonest or not congruent with like who you are. Like, that's really important to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what it has too is like growing up and seeing my family doing that. And I call it comfortably miserable, right? It's like, you know, it's that, yeah, I'm fine. But it's like, no, you're not. You're so alive, right? And that's what I can't, I mean, I don't want that to be me. And I
said,
whenever I kind of start feeling a little bit comfortably miserable, I'm like, okay, let's reconnect with what's important. Let's start moving into action. So
what is that vision that you have for yourself?
Well, I think, you know, it's doing the work that I love is really important to me.
Which is
working with individuals, groups, and teams to help them be individually great and connected to themselves, but also connected to them others to live their vision, whatever, if that's an individual's vision or the group vision, the team, the organization, but really to help them to find the synergies to live out their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think, you know, one other thing that's really important to me is to be present with my family. Like I feel like I'm learning now that I have kids is like the extraordinary happens in the ordinary. And so trying to be with my family, and this is a struggle daily, but like present with them, especially with all of social media and everything that's going on. But really to be present, and because that's, I think life happens now, and with, and to me, meaningful life is the connection you have between two people.
Hmm.
So
are there specific things that you do to like help yourself to be present?
Put down my phone.
That's probably a big one for everyone.
Yes, put down my phone. And I think mentally I have to get myself prepared, like, because there's always a distraction. What you're going to do next? What are you having for dinner? What are you doing for work lately? All this stuff. So I think it's really just listening and sitting and connecting. And it's interesting because when I meet with people, I'm often a slouch, and it's because I like to connect with people in their eyes.
Because mm-hmm.
That's when I feel really most alive. I like to, it's important to me. So I think I know that I'm present when I'm connecting with them, with, you know, especially
one. Yeah, with one-on-one and like making eye contact. And being intentional. I love what you're saying about like really being intentional about shifting into that space.
Mm.
Like it's almost like putting everything else at the door, like the dinner that you have to make and what you're going to do later and the work that needs to be done, like leaving it at the door so you can fully be connected to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And one of my goals too, in my daily planner, I do that too. It's like, what is your focus for the day? And it's like to be present, especially when I'm working on that. But it is, it's a mind shift. I have to like think, okay, James, like make that shift. And say, okay, I'm going to be present now. I'm going to forget everything. But it's a practice, right? So it's some days I'm better than others. And I think one of the things I'm getting better at is not making myself bad or wrong when I'm not that way. Okay, let's try tomorrow, right? We have another day, or let's try this next 5 minutes. Or, you know, it's like,
it's not
all or nothing. Cause I used to play all or nothing all the time. It's either all or nothing. No, I'll just start over. It's okay. So I think it takes intention.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say like being on the receiving end of it, I really feel like when we've met in person, like I feel like I'm the only one in the whole, like in the whole space. And it's such like, it really feels like such an indulgence to be like seen and heard by someone, because like you said, I mean, it's a challenge to be present with all of the distractions and how fast paced I think our society is today. And to really like have someone receive you from that place, it's such a gift.
Well, thank you. And you know, it's partly selfish for me too, because I enjoy it. Like when I feel most alive. So it's really about me. No, I'm just kidding. No, but also interested too, right? You're a very interesting person, and we have a really great connection. So I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. Like, again, it's like for the sake of like, you know, why bother being fully present? But it sounds like because for the sake of your own aliveness.
Yes. Yeah. Well said. I like that. It's so true. Cause I think that's when I feel like most fulfilled. So I'm the guy at the party that would like be in this really deep conversation. Like, what are you guys talking about? You guys come and talk about it. And I'm like, no, hold on. I feel alive talking to all these people. Like I feel alive right now with one person. So
yeah. Well, and it sounds like you feel really connected to yourself when you're doing that. Like you feel like maybe there's a value around like meaningful connection to you.
Oh, totally. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that I really see that you bring that into like your parenting and your relationship with your husband and your interactions with people. And I'm sure in your business.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. So that's and it, part of it's interesting you said about the business too, cause that's that I want to attract the people that want that, right?
The value that, yeah.
The value that or want more of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's easy as a business owner, and you might know this too. It's like, oh, I need to make money. And so I'll do whatever it takes there and work with whoever. Well, not really.
But yeah.
It's getting clear about what's, you know, it's like you're finding the right alignment between you and a coaching client or organization.
Mm-hmm.
Be aligned. I mean,
yeah.
It has to be, but in order for me, I think to be most powerful and to have the best outcome, I think when you find that alignment, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So I guess I'm curious, like, what do you see possible for these organizations that you're connecting with and individuals, like if they bring more humanness to their life and to their work and more presence? It sounds like that is also something that you're helping people to bring more of.
Yeah, I think, what I've noticed in a lot of organizations that I've worked is there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of closed doors, closed hearts, right? And because I think that's how we think we need to live all in our head. And then we're in a society that values data and analysis and logic and all that, which is good, but we don't trust our hearts, our intuition to help us make decisions. And we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And I think the humanness, if we can, in organizations, I think if leaders can lead from a place of an open heart and courage, that it's going to change the whole dynamics of the organization because they're going to connect with people on a human level. They're going to be present. People are going to feel valued and engaged and do great work. And then they're going to drive results to the organization where mm-hmm. I feel like, we don't spend enough time connecting with people on a human level. And that's where the synergy comes when you connect with people on the heart level. Mm-hmm. And so I think selling this to businesses they got to experience it. So
yeah.
Some of the things that like, they're going to have to find, you know, hopefully I'll find opportunities to work. I will find opportunities to work with these folks to give them the experience. And then they're like, wow, I can see the results.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it takes, like you were saying, like having alignment, cause it takes a certain type of person who's willing to step into that, because really what you're pointing at is like them being a leader and going first and opening their heart for the sake of connection with their employees, which will in turn lead to more engagement, more productivity. But it takes a willingness to open the door, which is really scary for a lot of people because, you know, they've been hurt or they've had bad experiences doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess as I'm saying that, I'm curious, like, what would you tell someone who is really scared to open their heart?
What would I tell them? I would say, I would say finding time to really connect with themselves in their own way, whether it's meditating, writing, working with a coach, there's someone that's not going to working with a therapist. What I mean, somewhere that they can kind of begin to open the heart where they're not going to feel judged and they can allow themselves to really be vulnerable. But I think it's going to, you know, but once people get a taste of what that's like, it's like, oh my, it's kind of like a drug because it feels easy and fulfilling, and it's not easy is maybe not the right word, but it's more fulfilling and alive.
Yeah.
So, and I think in the workplace, we just have taught people to stay in their head because that's not a bad spot, but I think when you can connect your heart and your head in the business world, I mean, anything's possible.
Possible. Yeah. Like yeah. Like, you're not saying only connect with your heart. You're really saying both are necessary. Mm-hmm. And both are of value.
Absolutely.
But if like just one is the dominant or one is like all encompassing, then it's off balance.
Yeah. So you need to connect, find that natural connection for it's connecting logic with intuition. Mm-hmm. All that. I think it's and helping leaders experience that and find a way to use that because it's a different skill set, mindset for leaders to use.
Well, and I love what you're saying about creating a space like to start with that's safe. Because there's something about like if you take a risk and you do it in a place that's safe, that builds the muscle. Like we've been talking with this conversation of like the way you've kind of developed this trust is through taking a leap and being caught, so to speak, or being held. And then that gives you more courage to take another step. Mm-hmm. And so if you create a container that people like leaders feel safe, then it allows them to like take another step. And maybe the next step is to have a heart to heart conversation with an employee or a direct report or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like with my coaching now and organizations, it's really creating experiences where they are successful. Like with it is a difficult conversation and then helping them make sense of that experience and to help them use that as a platform to build confidence, to have conversations and as well with teams. A lot of times with teams, like having direct communication or, you know, speaking the truth isn't always very effective. And so a lot of times what I do is I create simulations and real life experiences among team members so they can actually have experiences of speaking the truth and being heard and feeling valued. So therefore they can, you know, it continues to grow. They feel competent and confident in their ability to do that.
Yeah. You're making it like, what I'm hearing is like, you're creating kind of this space for them to feel it at like a cellular level.
Yeah. It's like they're embodying what it means and they're, and that experience is what you remember, right?
Yeah.
How you felt. And yeah, I mean, yeah, what you thought is there, but really it's like, wow, it's like felt this way. And it felt great having this really meaningful, hard conversation with someone. And now I feel like they can trust me and I can trust them. And so, cause trust is not just a behavior, it's a feeling, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, I just started rock climbing recently, indoor rock climbing, and I'm afraid of heights. And it's been really like such a powerful metaphor for like what we're talking about, because how I'm developing trust in myself, in my ability, and in the equipment and in my belayer is by falling. Like I have to take that extra step to go a little further than I think I can and miss it or fall to like really feel like I'm really safe in the equipment. It's holding me. And what you're pointing at is like so powerful. It's just like, yeah, people have to, they have to feel what it's like to be held before you know, cause you can know logically that something is safe, but you don't like, I can know, okay, this equipment has been tested. It's all, you know, it's all fine in my head, but then it's different when you actually feel the feeling of falling and then being held and not hitting the ground that you're like, wow, like this actually is safe.
What a great, I love that metaphor of, I mean, of actually you needed to kind of fall to kind of make sure that you were being held. And now it gives you confidence to even try harder, right?
Yeah.
Like if we do the times, it's a great, I love that analogy. Cause it's like, let me fall and know that I can get back up and keep moving. And then it gives you more confidence to take even bigger risks. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. I feel like that's exactly this whole conversation to me, if we had to like bottom line it, it would be like something about having the courage to face our fear and go for it for the sake of what's important, for the sake of our own aliveness, for the sake of living on purpose, for the sake of living intentionally. And in doing that, it creates like it builds the muscle to be able to then do it again and do it in harder situations and do it when there's more at risk.
Yes.
It's so powerful.
And I think it's for this, and even bigger, it's like the sake of making a difference in the world, right? Like if we all could live that, like what a great place we would live in this world.
Yeah.
Like we would be tapped in and tuned into what was important to us and living that way and on purpose. And I think at the end of the day, everyone wants to make a difference somehow. And so helping people figure out what that is and living that, like, I mean, our world would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what you just said, because I was thinking back at one point in our conversation where it really felt like it was more than just living in alignment with what was important to you. It felt like it was like making a contribution and like really contributing what makes you special and unique as a human being. And to do that requires like courage and facing fear and doing maybe, you know, what's outside of the box. And I think what you just pointed out is like, yeah, it is something bigger than just living in alignment with like my values. It's like, so that I can make a contribution to the world in a way that's really authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And really bring my unique gifts and skills and abilities to other people.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think the contribution thing is huge. I think, especially in our world today, like helping people show up and contribute in the way that they want to and they're passionate about and they're aligned with, like that's what we need.
Yeah.
And get out of fear and living comfortably, you know, comfortably miserable, and just live fully aligned and alive with who they are.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love it too. It's like, yes, this is, yeah. I mean, like, you go out and you do your work and I go out and do my work. And like the, you know, that's what this, you know, interview is really about for me. It's really inspiring people to take that leap and get out of their comfort zone and like, what did you call it? The comfortable.
Living comfortably miserable.
Comfortably miserable. Yeah. And like experiencing, I mean, you and I think both can say like to people like on the other side of whatever that line is, like, come on, it's totally worth it. Like you won't regret it. Like I promise, it's like amazing. And yet knowing we've both been on the other side of it, like terrified, like, no, I can't. I can't like risk losing my job, losing my family, losing. Yeah. I mean, it's like we empathize, but yet call forth that within people that really wants to be alive.
Yes. Well said. Love it. No, I think that, thank you for this, this conversation. I love what you're up to. And I love, the difference you're going to make with these interviews, because I feel like some people, think it's not possible. And when it's like me, everyday people, living their life, it's just the small things that matter. And so I think sometimes we see like Oprah or we see Michelle Obama or Barack Obama or whoever it is that's our mentor or, you know, this, oh, they're so amazing. Well, it's happening every day with people that live right next to us.
Yeah.
Aligned and alive, and we all can do it, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to be a superstar in order to say that we lived it. It's like doing that every day in our ordinary lives. So I love what you're doing. And I think the message is hopefully people will listen to these and really find something that resonates with them and kind of open their door a little bit more.
Yeah. I love that. That's perfect. Yeah. Like open the door and realize like that it's a choice and in every single interaction and every conversation and every experience, it's like, we can either live in alignment with our values and our intuition, our gut, our purpose, or not. Uh-huh. And it's not like life-changing stuff. It's just like every day there's so many opportunities to make that decision or not.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what's next for you?
What's next? No. You know, I think it's just continuing to do the work that I need to do to kind of live what's important to me, and taking care of myself and set my intentions and being mindful daily. And it's a practice, right? It's just like anything else. It's easy to get out of the routine of being mindful and intentional about how I'm showing up in the world. But continuing that practice and believing that I'm going to, like, the work that I want to do and the work that I love will appear.
Mm-hmm. So. And I'm gonna say it is appearing.
It is appearing. Yeah, it already is. It's like, I mean, it is all the every day. It's unfolding. Exactly how it's supposed to, and I'm ready for it. So.
Yeah, you are. Thanks so ready.
Thank you for that shift.
Yeah, and I'm so excited for you and just the people that you're impacting currently in your interactions and that you will impact in the future through the work that you're doing. It's like bigger than life changing. It's like, the word like global impact is coming to mind. It's like a larger impact that you're having in the world. And yeah, it's just so inspiring to hear how you bring it, like you bring that global impact into your daily decisions and your daily practices in your life. And you're also not sugarcoating it and saying it's like, it's easy and it's great all the time and you do it perfectly. It's like, yeah. You're showing your vulnerability and that it's hard and sometimes you don't do it well, but you're on the path of trying.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. And it's an honor to spend this time with you, and thank you for your inspiration of sharing all of, through the work that you do and your blog. And, I just love that you're showing up imperfectly perfect with as yourself, and it's beautiful. And I think it's inspiring. It's making a difference. So, I'm glad to, I'm fun. It's going to be interesting to see how, the synergy between us too.
And what, yeah.
In the next years.
Well, especially now that I'm in Denver.
I know.
So we can actually connect in person.
And we're not far away either. Like, we're pretty close.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be something in the future partner up together and do, because our purpose is very aligned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Well, thank you for taking the time, and really excited for you and inspired by you.
Thank you. Same here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. That's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening to Coaching with Catherine. If you like this podcast, please show us your support by leaving a review in iTunes or Google Play. It helps us so much and helps others to find the show. You can also visit me at www.coachingwithcatherine, spelled KATHARINE.com, or on Facebook to learn more about me and the work I do. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.